People ask often, what's the hardest thing you do as a pastor? The most tiring thing I do is have a wedding rehearsal. Mrs. Colston will vouch for that. That's the most tiring thing in the world, is a wedding rehearsal. The hardest thing I do is have a funeral of one of my people. I don't know why. I know they're in heaven. But far and away, the hardest thing that I do is to bury one of the members of this church. I think it's because of the loved ones. Last Tuesday afternoon, I stood here and the body of one of our men lay here in a casket, and his little family over here in a little group, as it's been now so many times in these 13 years. If you'll let me stay here another year, I would have been the pastor who's been pastor of this church the longest in its history. Our church is 85 years of age nearly. And I have, Dr. Horton served for 14 years. I passed Dr. Miller 2 years ago. And if you'll extend me a call for another year, I will have, you better. I tell you why. Because you're far in debt. You better keep me around here till we get up even, I tell you for sure. But I've stood here many times and in the chapel and in funeral parlors and in the auditorium next door and have laid to rest our people. Last Tuesday, we came to the place where we did it again. Little family here at the front, and their hearts were broken. After we spoke for a while and had the service, folks came by to view the body, as is our custom. Brother Fisk helped me in the service, and he stood at the foot of the casket, and I stood here at the head as the folks came by, which is also our custom. And, of course, the family wept. Thank God, as the Apostle Paul said, they did not weep as those that have no hope. They wept, but not as those that have no hope. There's a difference in the way those that have hope weep and those that have no hope weep. It looks the same. I was at the airport one day. Oh, it's been a year or so ago now. And I saw two mothers and father, well, two sets of parents saying goodbye to two sons. And both mothers were crying, looked exactly alike, had that look on their face, you know, and looked exactly, couldn't tell us any different. But one boy was going to Vietnam, and the other was going away to college. Now, they all cried, but they did not cry the same tears, because the one who was going away to the state university would be in more danger. As Joe Boyd says, excuse me, but you know it's so. No, the mother who was saying goodbye to the boy that going to Vietnam looked exactly like the other. But it wasn't the same. One mother was saying goodbye to a son maybe for the last time. But one was saying goodbye until the semester break. It looked the same. But you see, one was weeping as those that had little hope, and one was not weeping as those that had little hope. Now, our Lord says, I want you to cry, and I expect you to cry when you go to a funeral and your loved ones die, but there's a difference in the tears. And so they cried, not as those that had no hope. But the Fisk and I were standing together after the family had come by, and one member of the family, and I hope I'll not be embarrassing to anybody. I would not want to, but the illustration is so beautiful, I must use it. And Brother Fisk pointed to one member of the family and said he took it the hardest. He said, Pastor, when I was at the hospital, Mr. Peterson had just had a stroke, and of course he was unable to move his body. And this particular member of the family, well, it was, I'll just go ahead and say, it was Dick Peterson, the son. He said, Dick took it harder than anybody. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, at the hospital, Mr. Peterson had had his stroke. He couldn't move his arms. He was unconscious. And Dick threw himself over his dad's body and said, Daddy, Daddy, love me. Love me. And he took his lifeless arms and put them around his own neck, his daddy's lifeless arms, and put them around his own neck and said, Squeeze, squeeze, love me, Daddy, love me. And I think that was one of the most moving things I'd ever heard. He loved his dad. His dad could not reciprocate his love, could not return his affection. And there's the son trying to, to put life in his daddy's body, saying, "Love me." And I began to think, and I thought a good part of the afternoon, evening. I drove Tuesday afternoon up to Holland, Michigan, where I preached Tuesday night. And all the way on the trip, often on the trip, I thought about those words. Dick Peterson saying to his dad, "Love me, love me, love me, Daddy." Putting his arms around him and saying, "Squeeze, squeeze, love me." No doubt those arms had been around that boy many times. And as a child, those arms had hugged the boy. And as a youngster, those arms had hugged the boy, and the lips had kissed the boy's brow, and he had caressed the boy with his arms. And maybe, as an adult, no doubt, he still, I know my boy and I don't hug a great deal. In fact, we sometimes go several days without hugging each other. In fact, both of us are hoping we'll go several years without hugging each other. But after he graduated, the night he graduated, I met him in the chapel, and I said, "Son, I want to see you a minute." And he came over to the groom's room, the little room there off the chapel. And I said, "I'm proud of you, Doc." And for some reason or other, he wanted to hug me. I can understand why. I'm so huggable. But and so we hugged each other. Now, that's the first time we've hugged in a long time. But Dick, I can understand a little bit. My Dick would say, "Daddy, love me, hug me, squeeze me." And I thought, and I want to share with you the thoughts that I had as I drove to Holland, Michigan. It'll not be a life-changing message, but I think it'll be one that'll let you know something about the Savior's heart and that He wants us to love Him. I remembered a mother in Texas who had a son who died. He was 24 years of age. And I went up to Sulphur Springs, Texas. I never forget it because the father was saved there at the funeral. He came and threw his arms around the son and wept over him and said, "I trust Jesus now. I want to be saved now. Dick, I want to be saved. Oh, Thomas, I want to be saved now." And over the body of his son, the father received Christ as a Savior. By the way, he joined a Methodist church. Everybody's doing a mistake or two every once in a while, you know. And the last I heard, he was the chairman of the board in this Methodist church. It so happened this was a fundamental Methodist church. And he was the chairman of the board years and years later. But he was saved over the dead body of his son, Thomas Stubblefield. But that mother came up and she put her arms around the son's. His son was lying in the casket. She put her arms around his head and she said, "Thomas," and she kissed him. And she said, "Thomas, kiss me back. Kiss me back." And of course, the lifeless lips, the cold lips of the boy could not move nor return the affection of his mother. And I can see her as she even forgive me, and I forgave her. But she even slapped his face a little bit and she said, "Thomas, kiss me back." And she placed her lips to his cold lips. And unless you felt the cold body of one of your loved ones, you don't know really what death is all about yet. Oh, when I touch my dad and I